going to start in Jeremiah chapter 3. Last week we looked at the thought of come boldly to the throne. And so today I want us to look at an idea of praying boldly, ultimately, is what we're looking at today. And looking at Jeremiah 33, this is my life verse. This is a verse that I, as long as I can remember memorizing verses, this was the very first verse I ever memorized. Now, having said that, I'm sure that I memorized others before this, but this is the first one that I can remember as a verse that I memorized. And Jeremiah 33, verse 3, the Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And I'm excited. I've preached on this verse before, but I'm excited to look through some thoughts today on the idea of praying boldly, mainly looking more at bold requests. Last week we looked at coming freely to God. This week I want us to look at taking to God bold requests and then watching God boldly answer those requests as well. Let's pray. We'll ask for the Lord's help. God, thank you for the opportunity to come and preach your word today. Thank you for the opportunity to come and hear your word today. Lord, we look at the topic of prayer and, Lord, the idea of coming to you boldly and seeking bold requests. Lord, I pray that today our faith would be bolstered. I pray that we would understand your word. And Lord, that as a result of your word, we will come to you with all of our requests. And Lord, that we'll anticipate your answering as well. So help now as I present these thoughts, and I do it clearly and correctly. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you're a parent or a grandparent, I'm guessing there's probably been a time where a child or a grandchild has asked you for something that they wanted, but you were not able to get it for them. I always kind of wanted to be the dad that was able to get whatever my kids wanted. Now, once I got to meet my kids, that changed a little bit. But as a grandparent, I intend to spoil my grandkids mercilessly, and especially if it can cause pain and agony to their parents. That's what I'm seeking. But I remember as a kid, my grandfather, he was a generous man, and he was he wanted to get us whatever we wanted. He wanted to give us whatever we could, whatever he could. And so I've told before this story probably, but my grandfather, he would always go to the hardware store. And he would ask the grandkids, "Anybody want to come with me to the hardware store?" And my sister and my two cousins would always jump up, yes, and run out the door. And I would think, why would I want to go to a hardware store? I don't need a hammer. So no, I don't want to go to the hardware store. And then they would come back with toys and bubble gum and whatever it may be. And I'd be like, wait, what what happened? And, you know, they went to the hardware store with Grandpa and they got stuff. And I didn't go. So if I was lucky, I got a pack of gum. Otherwise, I got nothing. And I just thought they were taking advantage of my grandfather. I thought the poor guy doesn't understand what's happening. He went to the hardware store to get some screws, and he ended up spending all this useless money on my cousins and my sister because they talked him into it. But one day I was with my grandfather. We were walking into Meijer. And out front in Meijer, where you think of maybe like lawnmowers and stuff might be out there, they had go-karts. And we walked past these go-karts, and I looked at my grandfather, and I said, "Grandpa," I said, "I've never asked you for anything." I said, "I would love a go-kart." And my grandpa looked at me, and he said, "Vince," he said, "I would love to get you a go-kart, but I cannot." And I just remember thinking to myself, all those trips to the hardware store, he got them what they wanted. And I didn't ask for a single thing, and now I'm asking for just this one thing. I thought the wisdom in Vince's brain was save up for the big one, right? Don't go get the little things. Save up for the big one. And I thought that would work. It did not work, needless to say. But God never gets to the point where he cannot. there's not a request that you can ask God where God is unable to grant you your request. That's not to say that God will, but there's never a point where God is not able to grant you your request. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." But a lot of times what we do is we put ultimatums on our requests to God, especially our big requests. "God, I promise, if you'll answer this one thing, I will not miss another day of church. I will read my Bible every day. I will be nice. I will do all the things that you've told me to do. God, if you'll just grant me this one thing, I promise I will do whatever it is." Well, we're not supposed to do that to God. If we come into the request with God and we say, "If you'll do this, then I'll do this." Listen, God doesn't need that. God desires us to believe that he can answer. And so when we come to God with the, "God, if you'll do this, I'll do this," we're really lacking in faith of who God is and what God is capable of. And we just need to go to God, whether it's big or small things, we just need to go to God. The verse here says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee if you'll do this." No, he says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great things, mighty things, which thou knowest not." I've said it a lot, and I'll continue to say it a lot. When we understand who God is, it changes the way that we obey God. It changes the way that we pray. It changes the way that we view the world that we live in. When we understand who God is, and when we understand that God is a God who says, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." When we finally believe that verse, it changes the way that we pray. Let's look at a couple things this morning. Number one this morning, we'll look at three things. Number one this morning, God not only invites us but commands us to ask bold requests. We see where God is a God that is capable. We know that God is a God that desires fellowship with us. Where God is a God who desires us to pray. And we need to understand that God doesn't just invite us to ask bold things of him, but he commands us to ask bold things of him. When you think of God as a God who is limited, you will then mince your prayers. But when you think of a God who is unlimited, who is not chained down by anything, who is not who does not lack in love, who does not lack in grace, who does not lack in mercy, it changes, and it should help us to understand. When God says, "Call and I will answer," then we should call and expect him to answer. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm. We'll come back to Jeremiah in just a moment. But Psalm 81. I want us to see several verses today, so we will look at a few different passages. But Psalm 81, and then in verse number 10. He says in verse number 10 of Psalm 81, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Now, obviously, in context here, he's talking to his people, the nation of Israel, and he's reminding them of what he had done. But I do believe it is fair and right to look at God's word and understand that God promises to do the same for us too. And we see here where it says, he first starts out with saying who he is. "I am the Lord thy God." Then he goes into what he has done, who brought you out of Egypt. And then he tells them what to do. "Open your mouth and I will fill it." I always get the picture of a bird being fed in this passage. I don't know if that's the most appeasing picture to look at, but that's what I look at. When you see the baby birds in the nest, and they're sitting there with their beaks up in the air, and they're making all kinds of noise, and the mama bird comes and puts food into their mouth. That's what I picture here God saying, "Open your mouth, and I'm going to fill it." Now, if you look and think through all the things that God did, in the storyline of delivering them from Egypt. As soon as they came out of Egypt, they came to the Red Sea. God split the Red Sea and they walked through on dry ground. While they were in Egypt, there was plagues that God sent to soften the heart of Pharaoh and ultimately to get to the point where they were released. In the wilderness, God gave them manna because they were hungry and they needed food. God sent bread from heaven for them. There were times where they were thirsty. God sent water from a rock two different times. He made bitter water good water as well. Once they crossed into the promised land, there was Jericho, and we see where God had them march around the city and the walls came tumbling down. That God that is talked about in Psalm 81 is the same God today. In Malachi 3, it says, I am the Lord, I change not. Now listen for a second. I know you know this. This is not new to you. I understand that. But for a second, focus on that thought. I am the Lord, I change not. Okay. Use your Bible knowledge for a minute. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I am the Lord, I change not. Same God. Same God. The God that we read about in all these stories of deliverance and judges and through Samuel that we're looking at with David and Goliath and all those sorts of things, same God. You come into the New Testament and you come into the Gospels and you see Jesus Christ walking on the earth, same God. He's the Lord, He changes not. The same God we read about in the Old Testament, the same God we read about in the New Testament, is the same God that we're worshiping today. And He's not changed. Just as He's provided for His people, He still provides for His people. Just as He delivered His people, He still delivers His people. Just as He loved His people, He still loves His people. He's the same God. He does not change. Hebrews 13 says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Open your mouth wide and let the Lord fill. You say, well, you don't understand the situation I'm in, the concerns that I have, the needs that I have. God says, open your mouth and let me fill it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You have a need, the shepherd will take care of it. He's the same Lord. He changes not. In Jeremiah 33:3, God is almost pleading. That's the way that I read it, at least. He's almost pleading, call unto me. How many times in the Old Testament do we read where Israel, they had a need, they had an enemy, they had whatever it may be, and they didn't call on God? You could also see examples of when they did call on God, and what was the result? God took care of them. When they didn't call on God, what happened? Babylon? Egypt? Problems. And so He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And He says, I'm going to show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Great things that we didn't even see coming. This church is an amazing example of that. I've said it over and over and over again. Nothing has gone as planned. And I'll tell you what, nothing has gone as planned. Yet God continues to show Himself faithful. And the things that He provides are better than the things that I thought that I wanted. The things that He had planned are better than the things that I had planned. How did we get to this? Call unto me, and I'll answer thee. And I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ephesians chapter 3, you can turn there if you want to. I'm going to read it as soon as I get there. But Ephesians chapter 3. Come on. Verse number 20 and 21. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So who am I calling on? I'm calling on to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think. So listen for a moment. If we ask boldly of God, is He able? Yeah. But guess what? He's probably going to do above and beyond what you're asking for. So when you ask for the little thing, because you're like, well, that's little, maybe God will answer this. Understand your faith. Little things, but we're also supposed to ask the bold things, the big things, because God is able. Let's use the ability of God. Matthew 17 tells us that if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can move mountains. With faith, nothing is impossible. So when I call on the Lord, faith that He can and that He will answer, I can expect great and mighty things, exceeding abundantly above what I'm asking. Things that I haven't thought of. Things that I didn't prepare for. And again, this building is just that. When we were praying for a place to meet, when the last building got sold, and we're sitting there praying, Lord, we need a new place. We need a place to meet. You know what I was looking at? I was looking at about 800 square feet, 1,200 square feet of rental space with maybe a second room. And that's what we were praying for. And God gave us this. We ended up praying for this, but not until we knew about it. We were just praying for space. And the Lord said, well, how's about 6.8 acres? I said, that'll do, Lord. That'll do. We need to ask boldly because God commands us to. There's plenty of gospel in the Gospels, examples of faith and doing great things. Matthew 17, Mark 9, Luke 17, Matthew 21. But for sake of time, let's move on today. Number two, let's look at some Bible examples of big prayers. Because if we're praying to the same God that answered the prayers of the Old Testament men and women and answered the prayers of the New Testament men and women, well, let's look at what they prayed for. Maybe it'll help us, give us some examples and ideas of how bold we can go to God. Think of Joshua, if you will. Plenty of things that Joshua prayed, but one of the most amazing things that Joshua prayed is, Lord, we need the sun to stand still. Okay, back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created the sun. God commands the sun. Just as God commands the sea, peace be still. So when Joshua said, we need daylight, God said, you've got it. And the sun stood still. Elisha asked for a double portion of the Holy Spirit that empowered Elijah. You remember Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God, and there are many great things that God did through Elijah. Elijah in his life performed, through obviously the power of God, 8 miracles. And Elijah was a man of God. People knew he was a man of God. Elisha trained under Elijah, and he prayed to God, God, can I have a double portion of what you gave Elijah? God said yes. Elisha was used by God to perform 16 miracles. Along with other things, God used him. Smart ask, by the way, for Elisha. Moses prayed for the earth to swallow up wicked men. God hasn't answered my request on that yet, but he did answer Moses. He did answer Moses. And the earth swallowed up the uprising. Elijah asked God to send fire from heaven. And boy, did God send fire from heaven. One of the most incredible stories in the Bible. We can go on and on and on and on and on and on of people who prayed, God, do something big. God, my need is big. God, the request I'm asking is something that only you can do. That's a bold prayer. There are things that we can ask our parents for. There are things that we can ask our spouse for. There are things we can ask our kids for. There are things we can ask our boss for. But there are things that only God can do. Those are bold requests. And God desires for us to come to Him just as the Bible examples did. Boldly, freely, openly come to God, but come to Him with bold requests. So what are the blessings of these bold prayers? Or the result of these bold requests? First of all, we see that these bold requests glorify God. When you ask for something that only God can do, and you get that request answered, it always brings glory to God. Again, I come back to the example of this building and this property. There is not a guest that we have come, a missionary, a guest speaker, a family friend, that I don't tell the story about this building and how we got it. To be able to go from renting a building and not saving to buy a building to purchasing a building within 2 or 3 weeks, only God can do that. To go from having 25 poor people, 25 people in the church, to being able to purchase 6.8 acres, a building fully furnished, ready to go, that's a God thing. And to watch God do it, God gets the glory for it. When fire came down, when Elijah prayed for fire, and fire came down and demolished his altar and sacrifice and lapped up all the water and all that kind of stuff, guess what? People immediately recognized God. You look through some of these, Daniel in the lion's den. When Daniel was spared by God, the king immediately recognized God. When God answers bold requests, it brings glory to God. Because bold requests are not something where you can take any credit for. You say, my goodness, my phone is blowing up right now in my pocket. I don't know what's going on. All right. You say, well, you know, I asked God to give me $20. Okay, now listen, should God get the glory if He gives you $20? Yes. But oftentimes we say, man, I need $20, and then the boss gives you $20, or something happens and someone just says, hey, I've been praying for you, I felt like you need this, here's $20. Now, yes, you're going to give glory to God for that, but at the same time, can someone not steal the glory? Yes. Okay, but when you pray boldly to God, a need that only God can provide, there's no one that can steal the glory. It's all His. God loves big prayers. God loves bold requests. Why? Because He gets all the glory. There's no one that can steal it from Him. Another blessing or result of bold prayer requests is the fact that it prospers God's work. Is God going to give you something that will hurt? If you ask God, you need something, but it's going to hurt His work, is He going to give it to you? He's not. So many ministries have fallen and failed and closed their doors because when they needed help, they didn't go to God for it. They panicked. They began to sell things off and stop sending support places and all these other things. And then what happens? The door closes. Well, what are they supposed to do? We're supposed to get on our knees and say, God, we need help. There was a moment in our church, the only one that I'm aware of, where I was told, you know, we're looking at maybe 2 months of finances and not sure where we'll be sitting after that point. So I said, well, let's pray about it. And God grew the church. And it's something that only God can do. Guess what? His church is here today because we prayed about it. And He answered. And we said, Lord, we can't do it. We need Your help and Your provision. God did it. When a church is struggling, it should be when the church is the most active. Think about missionaries. There's too many missionary stories of people who are saying, man, what I'm doing, what I'm here for, what I've been called to doesn't seem to be prospering, so what should I do? And they just get more active. And they just keep on trying to reach people. Well, why should the American church be any different? We're supposed to be sharing the gospel with every creature. But if we come on dark days, guess what? We shouldn't stop. As a matter of fact, we should pick it up. And we're not in dark days. But maybe be motivated to go to God and seek His help and obey Him more. Because God will answer bold requests because it prospers His work. The last blessing that I want to mention is bold prayers get Christians what they need. Abraham Lincoln set a slave free, and he was asked to stay and care for his master, though, and he promised that he would take care of the slave once the master died. So the master said, I know you're free, but if you'll just stay and help me out, and when I die, I promise I'll take care of you. This slave had lived a slave's life for many, many years, and the master died. Finally, one day, the slave was told, you've got money in the bank. The master left you money. And the slave went to the bank and found out that his master had left him $5,000. Now, remember, in that time, it was a lot of money. Now it's 4 tires for your car. But back then, it was a lot of money. You're getting the wrong tires if you're paying $5,000, by the way. The slave took out 50 cents, and he left the other money there in the bank and went on and lived his life. Now listen, did that slave miss out because he only took out 50 cents of 5,000? Yes, he did. We go to God sometimes. We have an unlimited God. And we go to Him and ask for 50 cents. When God says, I got $5,000 here for you. How many times do we leave, in parentheses, money in the bank with God? How many times do we say, God, we know our need, but we don't have faith that God will answer it because it's too big in our eyes. So we go and we ask God for this thing over here. And God's sitting there and He's saying, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Come to me with your bold requests. Don't withdraw 50 cents when I'm offering you 5,000. God has promised us something in Jeremiah 33. It's not just a verse to memorize. It's not just a neat little tidbit. It's not a proverb. It is a promise from God. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So here's the application today. How are you praying? What are you praying? Should we pray for everything? Yes. So we pray for the small things 100%. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. But we should not just pray for the little things. To be able to go to God and ask him for the largest things on our heart. What is it? I think of things like healing. I've been guilty of praying for people to only have comfort versus healing because I don't think God will heal. Should we not be praying for healing? Can we pray for comfort during the trial? Sure, but should we not be praying for healing? Why? Because God is capable. We have to come boldly to God, freely, openly to God, but we have to come to him as well with bold requests because he's able. I don't know exactly what's going on in your life today. I don't know what things God has put onto your heart that you've been burdened with. I don't know what needs that you have that you haven't shared. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Not only are we to come boldly to God, we are to come to him with bold requests. Stop limiting God. Stop doubting God. And again, I get it. I've been there. I understand it. You know, there are times where we get on ourselves really hard, you know. And we say, man, this request, it's something that I need. But it's so big. It's so out there. I'm not going to bother God with it. He's not going to give it to me anyhow. So we just go on and ask him for these things. Listen, just go to God with everything that you got. Don't shy away from the bold requests. Listen, God sending fire from heaven, God splitting the Red Sea, God tumbling walls without anybody touching them. That's who he is. That's what he's capable of. That's what he'll do for his people. And you, if you are saved, are his people, child of God. So go to him with all your needs. And don't be afraid of the big ones, because he's capable of them too. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I've heard the testimony of the people in the room today. God, I know that our trust and dependence on you for salvation is there. But God, I also know that there are times where we just fail to come to you with the biggest of needs. Sometimes we fail to come to you with the smallest of needs. Lord, I pray that you would grow our faith and get us to the point where we come to you. Not only do we come boldly, but Lord, we come to you with bold requests, knowing that it will give you the glory. Lord, knowing that it will help your plan, that it will grow your ministry, whether it be in our homes or in our church. Lord, I pray that today we would have the confidence and the faith and the willingness to call on you so that you can answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not. So, Lord, forgive us for our doubt and strengthen our faith, we pray in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our